Good morning. The Bible reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. Good job, Mr. Wynn. Got a preacher in the making there. Yeah. Well, we continue our sermon series for Lent. It's called A Lift High the Cross. Every week we're connecting a word that has the word cross in it. With one that encourages us to think about our faith journey. The word of the week is crossed up. I'm wondering if you're like me, have you ever been crossed up with someone else? I believe in some form or some fashion we probably all have. Maybe it's an argument that separates. It's a head butting over a decision, possibly a conflict with a colleague. Maybe getting sideways with a family member. It's a known truth that anytime two living, breathing, thinking human beings share the same amount of time and space with one another, there will be some degree of disagreement, be that little or large. And it happens in the workplace, happens with extended family, between the generations, races, marriages, politics, ideals, so on and so forth. No two people think exactly alike, and therefore, there will always be some level of friction. It's inherent. When I was a kid, my dad would take me fishing, and I was little. I wanted to cast the rod and reel on my own, and if you didn't do it just right, we had this open face reel, and if you didn't apply your thumb after you cast it out and apply your thumb just with the right amount of pressure at the right amount of time, it would do this. It would get all tangled up. It would do what was called a backlash. Anybody ever cast a rod and reel and that happened with a backlash? Yes, indeed. It'd get all fouled up, all kind of tangles and knots in it. It was with great patience that my dad would take that rod and reel, and he would very methodically work to unravel it. Sometimes it would take 15, 20 plus minutes of our valuable fishing time, but there was Dad doing his thing and letting me fish with his rod and reel. I believe he did it for two reasons. Well, one, because he valued our fishing time together, and this is just part of it. And the second reason, he'd rather take the time to straighten it out as opposed to just cutting the line. I believe these same two principles can be applied when we get crossed up with another individual. One that we're encouraged by God in our faith to value the relationship with another. And two, because it just takes time to straighten things out as opposed to cutting the line with one another. Question is before us this morning is when we have a fallout, when we have a cross up with another individual, it's not how we go about avoiding these situations because they're going to happen, but it's how we work through them as people of faith. There's an old saying that goes like this: successful couples, successful friendships, successful relationships are accomplished by those who continue to work at making it work. Our Bible passage today assumes that due to the brokenness, due to the sin of this world, that a relationship, we're going to have these issues. And it is hard work, hard but holy work. And God encourages us to go through this hard but holy work. He gives us tools of grace. Tools of grace that point us towards forgiveness and reconciliation. Those two words, we kind of want to unpack a little bit. Forgiveness and reconciliation, they're very much related, and yet at the same time, also very different. You see, forgiveness, the literal Greek word means to release. It's as if a person is handcuffed, and there's a key that will release them from being bound together. You see, God releases us, or we release one another from the right to get even, or to stay angry, or to hold a grudge against someone that's done something against us. Forgiveness is a very important part of our Christian role. It's a part of our faith journey. You know, we pray it every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, do we not? Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, forgiveness is what lays down the axe. It buries the hatchet of anger and paybacks, silent treatments and revenge. That a little bit about forgiveness. Reconciliation, on the other hand, that's an old accounting term, believe it or not. And to recognize as Daniel was talking about this morning, is kind of like taking the financial books and reconciling them, balancing them against the bank accounts. Taking these two pieces and bringing them into harmony again with one another. When it comes to human reconciliation, that's a step beyond just forgiveness. But forgiveness is a beginning part, and reconciliation is a second part. The reconciliation part brings people together again, people who have been crossed up with one another. Brings that relationship back in balance again. Seeks to restore the relationship. You know, by the same token, I think we all have to understand that there are situations, there are people who have possibly hurt us, possibly abused us. And the best thing that we can do, is to offer forgiveness. Forgiveness in our hearts, an extension of forgiveness to that particular person. But due to severe pain or due to a terrible injustice, that you can't quite allow that person back into your life again. You see, forgiveness can be achieved, while reconciliation and that balance and harmony isn't always the case. In my years of being a pastor, I have visited with a number of persons who have been in various situations like this. Marriage vows that have been violated within an affair. Others who have been sexually abused by a family member. Someone who lost a child to a drunk driver. Others are victims of certain crimes. And others feel slighted or maybe even cheated out of a family inheritance, be that property or money or guns that Opa owned or jewelry that Oma had. In some situations, forgiveness has occurred in the process of time. And then after forgiveness, reconciliation happened with these estranged parties. And other times forgiveness also happened while reconciliation with an abusive uncle or with a skirt-chasing husband was not quite possible. Our Bible story today has some spiritual assistance for us. Spiritual assistance when it comes to this hard but yet holy work of forgiving and reconciling. It seeks to rebuild that which has been blown up. Seeks to repair and to reconstruct. So we want to take a look at four elements and four verses right here, if you will. First one is in verse 17. It says this: if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away, and behold, everything has become new. I believe the key part of this particular verse is those words, old and new. And new refers to the present time. It refers to the future. While old, of course, many times can represent the past. Often when we've been hurt by an individual, we become stuck. Stuck to the old. Stuck to the past event, if you will. And we begin to see, we look at the other person and we remember the person who hurt us, and that becomes our reference point in time. And we tend then to nurture the hurt, to remember the hurt, to feed the pain by being welded to what happened. There was a young man who got caught up in a gang culture. Drugs, crime, life on the streets, life on the edge. Many of his days were lived actually in a survival mode. Most of his nights were spent sleeping in an alley on a cardboard box as his bed. This young man was actually saved by the Salvation Army. They took him in, they cleaned him up, became drug free. He got a job. He was still living in the Salvation Army barracks. He had this new life. And yet at the same time, he held on to something of the past because he couldn't quite let it go. You see, when it came to bedtime every evening in that Salvation Army barracks, instead of him sleeping in that barracks bed, he found himself going to the kitchen, finding a cardboard box, cutting it open, and walking outside, laying it down on the sidewalk, and sleeping right there on the porch. You see, he had this new life in front of him. And yet he was locked up with this old mindset of the past. Those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers have what God says is newness of life. And yet we have these emotional scars that connect us with situations when we've been hurt by other people. And we can't quite always shake those memories of the past. You know, I've listened to people's pain over broken relationships. And I've heard people explain things like, Pastor, I just can't do it. I just can't forgive. Or I'm not going to allow that person back into my life again. There's no way. I can't do it. There's usually a pause right there, and I'll say, you know what, I agree with you. You can't do it. And at that particular time, they kind of straighten up a little bit and feel somewhat affirmed. But then I say, we on our own cannot forgive. We on our own cannot always reconcile with the person that's hurt us. Sometimes it is humanly impossible. And you may not be able to do it, but it's with God's help and over time, maybe not immediately, but over time and with prayer, with God's assistance, the scripture says all things are possible. So important in our Bible passage here. It says, if we are in Christ, we then are a new creation. The old passes away and everything becomes new again. Meaning that with Jesus in us and us in Jesus, we can live on the new side of life, on the resurrection side, instead of being anchored to the past. Brothers and sisters, Christ helps us to do those things that we can't do on our own. Things that are humanly impossible for us. And it's only in Jesus and with Jesus that we can possibly set this old frame of reference aside and embrace that new perspective in life that he has in mind for us. That's the first thing. Second thing is in verse 18. It says this, all this is from God who reconciled himself to us through Jesus Christ. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's change the slide there. Thank you. You see, it's God. It's God who initiated forgiveness. It's God who initiates reconciliation with sinners. You see, God started it by coming to us. And it's we the perpetrators that should have been crawling back to him that he goes to. See, initiation for forgiveness, initiation for reconciliation has to come from someone. It has to come from somewhere. If it's something that you and another individual are broken up about, if someone doesn't take the bull by the horns, it maybe isn't ever going to happen. There's a story told about four people. And the names of these four people, next slide, please. Names of these four people are everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. You got the four people? Yeah. There was a real important job that had to be done. Everybody thought that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, But nobody did do it. Somebody got angry about it, that it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wasn't going to do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Sounds a little too familiar. You know, when it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation, we're always waiting. Many times we are waiting for someone else to initiate the process, particularly if we've been on the hurt end of things. You know, we say things like, I'll forgive her if she comes to me, or I'll make up with him if he starts it, or get this one, yeah, I said I'm sorry first last time, it's his turn to say I'm sorry first this time. Initiation has to start somewhere. So someone's got to push the rock off the hill, get it rolling. Otherwise, everybody is waiting for somebody when nobody is getting involved. I love how the Bible tells us that it's God. It's God who takes that initiative. He takes the initiative with forgiveness and reconciliation. We're the ones who are in the wrong. We're the ones who ought to be coming to him. And God initially comes to us in Jesus. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave before we gave. That's why Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Jesus was sent by God to die for us. It's again God who makes the first move. He makes that first move to patch things up, as opposed to we, the guilty party, who should be doing that. Brothers and sisters, if we're waiting for someone else to make the first move, to say I'm sorry, please change it. There you go, thank you. If we're waiting for someone else to say I'm sorry, we may be waiting forever. Be the one. Break the silence. Be the one who is like God, who launches the process. There's a saying that goes like this: we are never more like God than when we involve ourselves in forgiveness and reconciliation. Get her done. Get her done. Pick up the phone, send the text, shoot out the email, make the lunch date, ask the person if you can come over. But quit wasting our time being angry or being puffed up like an old toad, waiting for the other person to act. Too much of life is wasted. The third part is verse 19. It says, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message to us of reconciliation. Tell you what sticks out in my mind in this verse is these two words, not counting. I think this is aimed at me. Maybe aimed at you also, possibly in your workplace, in your family, with your friends, in your marriage. Some of us are too good at counting. We're too good at keeping score. What happens many times is that we keep a running tab, an account against us. It's especially so true when it comes to the petty things. There was this couple that had a real nasty spat. I know none of us who are couples can relate to this. They had a real nasty spat. The man said, well, do you remember? Do you remember when you said that I'm as bullheaded as my mother? She said, no, I don't ever remember saying that. He said, well, sure you did. It was a Saturday morning. We were eating breakfast. It was 45 degrees outside. We were eating blueberry pancakes. It was drizzling rain. We had the dog groomed that day. You went shopping with your mother then, and I had to go to work. She said, are you kidding me? I don't remember any of that. But you seem to remember it as if it happened yesterday. Keeping track about remembering things way too well. Especially when it's a matter of something that could be minor that we make into a major. It keeps our hearts hard, as the scripture says. Bible many times talks about a hard heart as opposed to a soft heart. A soft heart is a place that God can do something with, that encounters and forgiveness and reconciliation can happen. as opposed to that rat's nest that's hard to navigate. You know, those situations can so quickly deteriorate, can they not? People start to think, I don't get mad, I get angry. Or those extended silent treatments, or those passive-aggressive behaviors, things that we say that we later regret, like that toothpaste that comes out of that tooth, just can't put it back. Some of us may be way too good at counting, way too good at remembering. You know, that last week I got to spend 2 days from about Thursday evening to Saturday afternoon, about 40 hours with my grandson, Graham, and that was in Dallas. He's 26 months old now, and he's going to a Montessori school. He's learning to count. But I got to tell you, he gets his sevens and his 11s all mixed up. He goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 11, 12, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, I find that to be this, more creative than correct. Some of us need to be a whole lot more creative in our relationships as opposed to always being correct. Sometimes it's not the smartest thing to always be right. But we need that humility, the humility to remember to forget sometimes. To forget to remember, to remember to forget. We need that in our relationships if we want the relationship to work. To be less good at counting, less good at remembering the trespasses of those against us. And fourth and final in this passage is that last verse, verse 20. It says, so we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What catches my eye here is the word ambassador. Ambassador for Christ. And an ambassador is one who represents. We are representatives as Christians. We are representatives of God. And it's on us, it's on me to model what forgiveness and what reconciliation look like to others in this world, but much less to one another as Christians. You see, to be an ambassador is about building relationships between foreign people, people who are maybe at odds with one another. Making that additional effort, rolling out the red carpet, extending that hand of hope. Hey, there's this book that was written. It was followed up by a 1999 movie. It's based on a true story. True story of a fellow by the name of Alvin Strait. And Alvin Strait journeyed from Iowa to Wisconsin. Alvin was a World War II veteran. He had been estranged from his brother Lyle. They had not spoken for 10 years. Alvin gets word that his brother Lyle has suffered a debilitating stroke. He decides that he's going to go see Lyle. He wants to make amends before his brother dies. Only problem is that Alvin's legs and Alvin's eyes are too impaired for him to get a driver's license. So without a driver's license, what does he do? He purchases a 30-year-old John Deere riding lawnmower, hooks up a trailer, and he heads that way. 5 miles an hour maximum speed. He sets off on this 240-mile trip, Lawrence, Iowa, to Mount Zion, Wisconsin. Takes him 5 weeks to get there. Faces breakdowns, terrible weather, traffic jams. He even gets blown off the road by an 18-wheeler. You know, it's worth the watch. I've got a copy of that if anybody would like to see it. It's a very inspiring story. If anyone needs that inspiration to journey down that thinking and someone else's thought process of what really matters when it comes to relationships and forgiveness and reconciliation. You see, it tells this story about the great pains and the sheer determination that someone will go through to set aside their ego, to set aside their arrogance, to set aside their being right, to be an ambassador for forgiveness and reconciliation. It ought to sound familiar because it is. Because we have one. We have one who set aside all of his rightness. He journeyed that great distance from heaven to earth and from earth to hell. From hell to earth and earth to heaven again. He initiated the process with us. He's terrible at counting sins against us. And he wants peace and reconciliation for each and every one of us with God, but not just with God, with one another as well. Brothers and sisters, may we who are Jesus' followers seek to take the lead from the one who led us in that hard but holy process of reconciliation with sinners, so that we might not remain crossed up with our God or with one another. Amen. Amen. Amen.